two passages of scripture I'd like to take you to this morning, Judges chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 6. Easy to remember, so maybe the two J's and the 6. Joshua chapter 6 is on the walls of Jericho. Judges chapter 6 is on Gideon and his encounter with the angels. And I think I'd like to start actually with Judges chapter 6. My topic this morning is that nothing is anything until God says it's something. Nothing is anything until God says it's something. And I'm amazed how much we attribute value or gravitas or weight to opinion or perhaps a news story or perhaps a rumor or perhaps a Facebook post. But the greatest weight on anything, the greatest authority on something is if God says it's a thing. And until then, it's not a thing. It's just a temporary thing. Unless God says it's a thing, then it is an eternal thing. It's not even a thing in your life until God says it's a thing. He will rebuff or approve, but it isn't something until God says it's something. And so in a higher grade church language, we're talking about the hand of the Lord being upon us. And what that looks like, what that means, how we stay sensitive to that, we'll navigate it. Judges chapter 6, Gideon, famous part of the Bible. He is treading wheat in a wine press, the wrong place, but he's sort of in quarantine, hiding, because the environment he's in is not good. He's in the middle of a war zone. And if they see that he's busy with wheat, they'll come and steal it. So he does it in a quiet place. And an angel of the Lord comes and sits down next to him and introduces himself or greets Gideon by saying, it's verse 12 I'm reading. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then Gideon says stuff that I think we've all thought. We might be thinking it at the moment with everything that's going on in our lives. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon says, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about? And when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now it seems the Lord has abandoned us and given us up into the hands of the Midianites." He's a little frustrated, and I think we've all had that moment of frustration. He's going, "Well, you greet me with such a nice greeting, you mighty man of God, or you child of God, you're a princess in God's kingdom, you're a prince, you're seated," all these grand greetings. But then he looks at the practicalities of his life and he's a little disappointed. And maybe, you know, we all have a little bit of that in our lives, feeling a little disappointed with the state of things. And so he answers back. You know, people say that Gideon was sort of a quiet, nervous type. I don't know. I think he's quite brave there. He's talking to an angel. The angel's greeting him, and he plucks up the courage and says, "Where is God?" And if you know the rest of the conversation, you'll know that the angel is taking the opportunity to tell Gideon that he is God's chosen for a particular task or a particular time. And then he goes through that whole psychological unpacking when Gideon says, "I'm the smallest. You see, I'm not a thing. I'm a small thing." But let me tell you, a thing that isn't a thing or a thing that's a small thing, when God says it's a thing, that changes everything. That makes everything significant and supernatural. And in that instant, in that moment, Gideon's going, "Well, I'm the smallest in my tribe. My tribe's the smallest in the land. I'm the least of the least. I think you got the wrong guy." But here's the principle I want to share. Gideon was hectic, says Lloyd. Here's the thing I want to share, the least moment in your life, the most unlikely scenario in your life, the small little thing, when touched by the hand of God, can be the most supernatural, significant thing in the world. In the book of Acts, there's an example where Paul the Apostle couldn't get to go and pray for people who were sick in certain towns, so they sent him handkerchiefs. And you can Google this. And Paul the Apostle would lay hands on the handkerchiefs, send them back. Small thing, piece of cloth, you know, not much. But when the hand of the Lord, you see, and when I went back into the town they came from, people touch the handkerchief, they'd get healed. And so I think there is a huge value in us understanding the significance of a thing like that. And I want to encourage you I want to encourage you that even though a thing seems like a small thing in this moment in your life, simply allow him to turn it into a big thing by putting his hand upon it. And that's the encouragement I'd like to share with you. That Gideon seemed uncertain until God's hand was on it. Joshua had quite a similar experience, actually. Joshua's experience was that God said to him, do a very small thing. Just walk around a town, Jericho, every morning at sunrise. Do it for 7 days. But on the seventh day, do it 7 times. And then give a shout of praise. And when you give a shout of praise, God will move on your behalf. I want to talk to you about what it looks like to have the hand of the Lord on your life and to do the small things that seem like nothing. But you see, because God says it's something, it's significant and it's spiritual. And I really want to encourage you to figure out what that looks like. I want to encourage you to figure out, as we go through the passages of Scripture, ways of knowing that the hand of the Lord is upon us, then ways of keeping an awareness. You know, something about the Old Testament and the New Testament that's very different. In the Old Testament, the hand of the Lord would come on and then leave. You know, Samson's a good example. You know, Samson, the hand of the Lord would come upon him, and the Bible says mightily. God's Spirit would come upon him mightily. And then he tore the bear and the lion and he did all kinds of stuff. Of course, he had a bit of a weakness for the girls and got him into trouble. But when the hand of the Lord would come upon him, then he would feel mighty and powerful and do incredible things. The New Testament's a bit different. The Bible promises he will never leave us nor forsake us, that the hand of the Lord settles upon us. And it's all about the sensitivity to knowing the hand of the Lord. Now, hands are important things, I guess, hey? You hold right hands when you get married. You exchange vows and come together that way. You hold a child's hand on a first day at school because there's something of that. A hand on a shoulder from a friend replaces words. It can mean so much. And there's power in recognizing God's hand on your life. He never takes it off. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, his hand is on your life. The problem is we lose our sensitivity to that, you know. We perhaps get hardness of heart. 4 things the Bible tells us. Let me throw it in because we've got a little bit of time. 4 things the Bible tells us that will make you insensitive to God's hand. Now, I've always pictured God's hand as a hand on my shoulder. And when he wants me to turn to the left or to the right, I'm aware of the pressure point of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he sort of guides and he steers. And there is a significance in being sensitive to that, being aware. Of course, if you're overburdened, all you feel are burdens. You can't feel the hand of the Lord. In fact, you might even feel the hand of the Lord is an extra burden. And it certainly isn't. It's the one that replaces all burdens. But there are at least 4 things the Bible tells us makes us insensitive to the hand of the Lord. The one is hardness of heart. You get hard-hearted, stuff happens. You develop an attitude of disappointment, or you develop an attitude of discontentment. You close your heart, you put up some walls, you become insensitive. The second thing is actually just tiredness. I mean, I know that sounds like a small thing, but it's a small thing that is a big thing. Time and again in Scripture, go rest. Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments. Just detox enough to be sensitive to the hand of the Lord. 2 other things the Bible warns us about. Maybe we'll cover this in college someday. Mike will tell us about college soon and what our plans are. But one of the things that could develop hardness is bitterness. The Bible says, be careful that a root of bitterness doesn't spring up and defile. What's the difference between a hard person and a bitter person? A hard person puts up walls and won't let you close. A bitter person wants you close so that they can keep telling you the toxicity of their bitter story. They actually gather. Bitter people gather people around them. And they keep being bitter. You can't be bitter if no one will hear you. And so bitterness is a problem. And then unforgiveness, you know, There's this real power in scripture. I'm getting some amens at the back there. That's real cool, Vince. Thank you. There's a powerful passage in scripture. The Holy Spirit is about to be breathed. It's in John chapter 20. About to be breathed on the disciples. Jesus is using it as an example. And here's what he says. He says, don't hold anybody's sins. If you hold their sins, they are retained to you. You've got to forgive. You've got to forgive if you're going to be sensitive to the hand of the Lord on your life. And so you've got to watch out for hardness of heart, tiredness, bitterness in spirit, and unforgiveness. They're not going to help you turn a small thing into a spiritually supernatural or significant thing. And I want to encourage you to think through a couple of the ways in which small things become significant things because the hand of the Lord is on them. Look, I don't want to do anything in my life that doesn't have God's hand on it. I mean, even if it's the coolest thing in the world, if God's hand isn't on it, I'm not interested. If he hasn't steered me in it, it's not worth it. It'll cost me so much in the end. You know, when God's hand isn't in it, then you've got to keep fueling it. You've got to keep pumping it up. You've got to keep making it happen. No, that is not how the Lord is guiding us in our spiritual journey. It's from rest to rest, and there's something significant and powerful in that. I wanted to take you through a couple of ways in which the hand of the Lord guards us and how for you to be sensitive in it. We need the hand of the Lord because it guards us when we're traveling blind. What I mean by that is when you can't see what's in front of you, then you should at least sense how he's guiding you. That's really important because sometimes you can't see the whole thing. You know, you can't quite see how it's going to work out. You're in a situation in your business or you're in a situation in your marriage or you say to yourself, I can't see how this thing's going to work out. Well, when you can't see, when you're traveling blind, you need somebody to hold your hand. And I think the hand of the Lord is incredibly powerful in allowing for that to take place. And when you're feeling like you're traveling blind, don't feel guilty about that. All of us, at some point in our lives, some of us right now, we feel like we're traveling a bit blind, in the dark. The hand of the Lord is there exactly for that. You know, the hand of the Lord is the comforting angel in Gideon's story. It is the trumpet sound in Joshua's story. It's when God walks alongside you. When you're walking blind and when you're walking alone, the hand of the Lord is there. And I need to be sensitive. Whenever I feel like I'm alone, lonely or alone, I've got to know the hand of the Lord. In all of lockdown, shall I share a personal story? In all of lockdown, the hardest day for me, without a doubt, was Christmas Day. And let me tell you why. I always go home and spend the day at home alone on Christmas Day. My family is in KZN, and you're all with your families, and I get invited to a lot of family things all the time, and I feel be with your family. And quite a few people invited this year, including Henny from JBase. I don't want him to feel bad. But here's the difference. We would have church here with two services, 5,000 people. I'd say Merry Christmas and hug people for 5 hours, then go home, I'd be okay at home alone. Not this year. You switch on the camera, you do the message, and you switch it off, and at 10 o'clock, there you are. And then I remembered the hand of the Lord is with me. And suddenly, I got to spend Christmas in a different way with the awareness of the mighty hand of God on my life. It really changes everything. When you feel like no one's got your back, you got to remember that the one who has fills up all the space. I think there's real power in recognizing and acknowledging that. Now, when you're going to war, you've got to be aware of the hand of the Lord. What does going to war mean? It means when you're in a bit of a fight for your kids, because they've gotten themselves into some stuff, or they went down the dark side of YouTube and now they're anti-God and anti-family and anti-everything. You're in a fight for your business. It's on the edge. This lockdown thing stretched it too far. Whatever fight you're in, you fight for your own mental health. You're battling to keep it all together. You know, the Bible tells a story of a war that takes place. And while the war is happening, two men are holding up the hands. You know the story, Aaron and Hur holding up the hands of Moses. And as that happens, the victory takes place. If the hands sink a little, they started losing the battle. Let me tell you, the hand of the Lord holds your hands up. When you're in a bit of a fight, you've got to be aware and sensitive to the work and presence of the hand of the Lord on your life. There is a real a significance in acknowledging and being aware of that. And then two more things I wanted to share with you concerning when the hand of the Lord is on your life to be sensitive to. When you're waiting, there is a very important thing that happens when you wait. Something emotional or soulish or mental kicks in, starts putting pressure on you. You start saying to yourself, well, no man, this can't go on. I don't think I can do this much longer. That sort of a talk comes into your heart. Very much like Gideon. Where's God? You say, God's wonderful. I'm a mighty man. Here I am in a cave here just making a bit of flour. Where's he? And this thing starts to talk into your heart. Do not silence it, that you are aware the hand of the Lord is upon me. Jesus himself, you know, the Bible describes his mission statement, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for I have come to. That's how powerful it is. Your whole mission is woven into the idea of the hand of the Lord. And be careful, you know, don't let the hand of conspiracy be heavier on your shoulder than the hand of the Lord. Don't let bad news, the hand of news out there, worldly news, be heavier on you. It can have its place. I don't think we should live in ignorance. It can have its place, but the hand of the Lord weighs stronger. You see, it got to weigh stronger. And I think there's something incredibly powerful in recognizing that. So while you're waiting, become aware of the hand of the Lord on your life. It is a sense. See, if I were allowed to do an example, and I've done it before, allowed, but we can't with social distancing, I'd literally have somebody in front of me and I'd put my hand on their shoulder and I'd let them continue to walk. But when I felt like they were taking a wrong step, I'd nudge like the bit in a horse's mouth. In fact, talk about small things that are nothing unless God says there's something. James, the tongue is a small thing, but it sets on fire the entire course of our lives. It's like a bit, that's like a rudder on a ship. Small thing steers everything. Hand of the Lord, significant thing steers everything, like the bit in a horse or the rudder on a ship. And there's a lot of power in recognizing and allowing that to take place in our lives. You know, the things that are small things that God has put his hands on are really important things. And I just need to block a user. You can't believe I'd have to do that, hey? But I do need to because they're anti-God and they want to use a chat to have that conversation. But here's the thing about small things God has put his hands on. God has put his hands on singing a song because a simple song has power. God has put his hand on reading a scripture. These are the simple bits. God has put his hand on my declaration. If you quote it and speak it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, as a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, that's how they're saved. Now, I want to encourage you, there is an authority or a power in recognizing what God has put his hand on and then doing that. It was the handkerchief that was prayed for. It was a little bit of oil in a widow's house, but God put his hand on it. It doesn't seem like much. You know, you might think, I don't have much going for me. Well, let me tell you that if God puts his hand on your life, you've got more going for you than somebody who has inherited wealth, reputation, titles, or a good name. You have the greatest inheritance of all. The hand of the Lord is on you. In fact, you go look in scripture and find kings, rulers who had God's hand taken off them. In the Old Testament, see what happened to their lives. Ask Saul about that someday. Some of the great kings of the Old Testament, where the Spirit of the Lord was not on them, was the testimony they had to fight. And I want to encourage you, stop belittling something so important. God is with me. God is with me. The hand of the Lord is upon me. And something might seem big, but if the Lord says it is but a little thing, I guarantee you, as big as it seems to you, to the Lord it is a little thing. It's a little thing. To me it might seem crushing, but to God it is nothing. And if God puts his hand on something, I think that there is an authority for us to respond in faith. There are a couple of things I wanted to share with you about how to do that. And I just want to page through something here because just while Vince was leading us in worship, I really felt the Lord's hand on a couple of things. Firstly, you sense approval when God's hand is on your life. You know, nothing. You don't need to use words when you put your hand on somebody's shoulder. When a father does that to a son, you've replaced an essay of words. I love you. I'm here for you. You're important to me. I got your back, no matter what fight you're in. I need words. Might not even have words, but I have the approval. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You have a sense of assignment. When you're doing something and you feel the hand of the Lord is on it, opposition doesn't matter. You see, because you think, well, I'm not unsure here. I have kingdom force nudging me forward. So resistance the other way, it really doesn't matter. You know, years and years ago when I was much younger, in my 20s, 10 years ago, really muddled the math. My family, my parents struggled with this thing of calling. Come from Orthodox, very similar to Catholic background. It wasn't sort of a career your kids went into, you know? And the more I felt resistance, the more certain something rose up in me. I knew the hand of the Lord was on me. And at the right time, when you're consistent with what you're called to do, God turns even your enemies to be your friends. And in my case, my family absolutely came around and acknowledged and recognized. But you can't, you know, chop and change. You've got to go, this is the hand of the Lord on my life. The hand of the Lord also, thirdly, he approves, he gives you a sense of assignment. And thirdly, he activates things in your life. You know, when I am not confident in myself, I think, I don't know if I'm going to get this right. The awareness of the hand of the Lord changes that. I'll give you I'll share an honest emotion. When I stand in front to preach, no matter the size of a gathering, there's a little moment in me that says, are you sure that this is what you should do right now and that this is what you should say right now? And if I leave those thoughts to take over, I'll get insecure. Instead, I go, where is the hand of the Lord? Oh, yes, the hand of the Lord. Yes, no, I'm good, let's go. And so that way, I lean completely on God's hand and not on my head or heart. I take into consideration my head and my heart, but I take my leading, my comfort, my calling from the hand of the Lord on my life. I want you to know that you might be going through a wilderness experience just like the children of Israel did. Or you feel a little like Gideon. I'm a little disappointed, God. I want you to know you're a mighty man, mighty woman, because the Lord is with you. We have to build our confidence in them. It's just so incredibly significant. The Lord is with you. I want to take a moment to really allow our hearts to open to that. And I want to pray a prayer that God will lead us into confidence, but sensitivity and awareness to his hand on our lives. And then when we've done that and I've prayed my prayer, I'm going to let you sit in on a staff and a core volunteer conversation about 2021. It's just part A of the conversation on how we're going to make church so incredibly meaningful and spiritual and significant in 2021, no matter what's going on in the world on lockdown levels. So let's take a moment to pray, everybody. Father, we thank you so much that your hand is upon us. Thank you, Lord, that Mighty exploits are possible. When you declare a small thing to be something, it becomes a supernaturally significant thing. That nothing is anything unless you say it is, Lord. Father, we have absolute assurance that heaven holds all authority for what we need in our lives. And today, pray that you'll just make us really aware and sensitive to your hand on our shoulders. We want to move neither to the left nor to the right, but that your hand guides us there. We don't want to make decisions from faulty places. We want to make decisions from a faith place. We pray that you will fill us with that confidence in your hand on our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we never walk alone. You never leave nor forsake. Thank you, Father, that your hand has been there all the while. Forgive us for becoming hardened or insensitive to it. But today, we strip away all of the clutter and the things that have weighed on us so that we couldn't tell it's you anymore. We remove it in Jesus' name. And now, the weight on our shoulder is the mighty hand of the Lord leading us through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.